All right, you in the foyer. Church's not over yet. Amen. We get to look into the revelation of God's word, and we give him thanks for the word that has come to us. Amen. The Holy Scriptures. And we're still in Hebrews chapter 10 in this, or excuse me, we finished Hebrews chapter 10 last week, but we're still in the series in Hebrews. So we're going to deal with Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. And I'm sure everyone at some point in their life as a Christian has heard a sermon. If not a sermon, you've heard someone mention in the pulpit this scripture, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Now, I want to deal with this in context, okay? Coming out of Hebrews chapter 10, so I'm going to go back to some scriptures, just a passage that we looked at, our actual text from last week, so that we can tie in and make sure that we understand what the writer, the author of Hebrews, was saying, and what he meant when he came to this passage of scripture. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And if you know me, you know that I don't like things taken out of context and just used for anyone's own personal whatever use that they want to use it for, and not what the scriptures are teaching. So let's pray and we'll look at this. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that the word and the spirit always agree. And so, Lord, I pray that what you, Holy Spirit, are saying to us and what comes out of my mouth, Lord, would be in agreement. Holy Ghost, open up our hearts and our minds, instruct us, teach us, and cause us to understand the truth of God, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, I want to now go back to Hebrews chapter 10, verses 32 through 38. Remember the setting. Remember that the writer of Hebrews from chapter 1 is talking about and unveiling to the Hebrew Christians how Christ is better than the prophets, the angels, so forth and so on, how his sacrifice is better than the Old Testament sacrifices of atonement, how his priesthood under the Melchizedekian priesthood is better than the Levitical priesthood, so forth and so on. And then when he comes up to chapter 6, he warns the Christians, these people, not to step back, not to step away, but to persevere in Christ. In chapter 10, he did the same thing and told them not to actually apostatize or relinquish or give up their faith in Jesus, but to hold firmly to the faith. Why? Some of the reason is because when Christians are persecuted, they can lose hope or want to give up. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago. Even some folks, even when we go through a tragedy, some Christians can go through a tragedy, and then because they don't understand, we blame God and want to draw back and get angry or upset with God, and possibly want to give up their faith. The devil tempts people that way. The writer of Hebrews comes to these Hebrew Christians, and he talks to them about not turning away from Jesus but drawing near to him because of what he accomplished for us as high priest. And then he tells them that they are in need of endurance. And beloved, that is something that we all are in need of as well. We need endurance, okay? He tells them here in verse 32 of chapter 10, this was, again, was our text from last week. He says, but recall the former days in which after you were illuminated, you endured a great struggle. And I've underlined and boldened, that which I want us to really see, that they endured a great struggle with sufferings. New Christians, by the way, this is going on right now in the countries like Pakistan, Afghanistan, Vietnam, North Korea, countries where when you receive Christ, Saudi Arabia, as your Lord and Savior, you are immediately going through a great struggle. Your family ostracized. They don't know you any longer. You are not a part of the family, you see. And so they go through and they have to endure that. Partly, verse 33, partly while you were made a spectacle both by reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you became companions of those who were so treated, speaking of himself and others. For you had compassion on me in my chains and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing. Now, what I want us to see is that the process that these Hebrew Christians had already gone through, the Hebrew writer is now going to take them through in Hebrews chapter 11. He said, you endured all of that, and you joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods because you knew that you had a better and an enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. You went through all this suffering because you knew what you had in heaven. What is that but faith is the substance of things hoped for. You knew you had what? Something in heaven. You can't see heaven. What was that? It was faith. It was the substance. They had already lived this thing out. Okay? They had faith that what was in heaven was already theirs. Therefore, that allowed them to go through the suffering and go through it joyfully, like it never even mattered. Okay? And so he says, therefore, do not cast away this great confidence that you have. What confidence? This confidence that you know that you have a better and an enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. Listen, if you know that heaven is yours, you can go through anything down here on earth. If you know that heaven is yours, you can weather any storm in this life. And that's what he's telling these Hebrew Christians, right? Come on, right? It's right there. So he said, don't cast that away. This confidence, this faith that you have, don't let it go. He says, hold on to it. Why? Because it has a great reward. The reward is off in the future. That's what they're hoping for. See, faith is the substance of things hoped for. And he's saying, you're going to lay hold of this if you don't cast away your faith. Verse 36, for you have need of endurance. What's the last time you heard a message on endurance? Hello? We probably can't remember the last time we heard a message on endurance, okay? But, beloved, we need endurance because whether we know it or not, we are in a great struggle. Now, we're not in the struggle the way they were, where someone's not going to come and persecute you because you believe in Jesus. That may be coming a few years off down the road if things keep going the way they're going for the Christians in America. But we're not struggling that way. We're struggling in a different sort of way. We're struggling in a way where Satan comes and puts all kinds of things right up in your face, and you're struggling to say no. You're struggling to get away from it. You're struggling in this battle to either give in to temptation or not give in. All right. So, for you have need of endurance so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come. Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. And so this is the passage of scripture where that precedes Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Notice how he draws a picture of the faith there, knowing that you have a better and an enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. That's faith right there, okay? Laying hold of the hope. Do you see that? Come on, listen. If I prayed for you and I said, I know that you're healed, that would be me having knowledge of what you're hoping for, right? You want the healing, but I'm saying you are healed. I know that you're healed, right? I have possession of it right here in me. You may not, but I have it in me right now, okay? And he's saying that you know that you have a better and an enduring substance. That's faith laying hold of hope and saying, what I'm hoping for is mine right now. I have it right now. And we live this way. This is life for the Christian because this is how we walk with Jesus. Do you see Jesus? Have you ever seen him? I haven't. Do I love him? Do you love him? Oh, my God. Oh, you better believe I do. Because I know he loves me. I know that he died for me. Come on, by faith, this is how the Christian lives their life. This is how we live. We walk by faith and not by sight. So the life of a Christian is a life of faith. That's why I entitled the message, The Necessity of Faith. The Necessity of Faith. Now, the author wants the believers to endure through faith what goes on in this life so that they can partake of all that God has for them in the next life. Now, you remember I said last week that your faith and my faith has a destination. Your faith and my faith has a destination. Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 9, he goes through this expression or this description of what God has for us, this inheritance undefiled, uncorruptible, and that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you. We talked about that last week. You remember? That God has an inheritance for you and I. Now, then he says, for this reason, you greatly rejoice, though now for a season of need be you are grieving because of various trials, okay? And then he talks about having, that though you don't see Jesus right now, yet you love him and rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Then he says this in verse 9, receiving the end of your faith. What is the end of your faith? What is the reason that God has given you faith? What is it? It is the salvation of your soul. That's the end of your faith. The end, God has not given you faith so that you can believe for an airplane to take you from country to country. Now, that may happen. Listen, God can give you anything. Listen, matter of fact, when you go into the Old Testament, there are people in the Old Testament, they didn't have faith. They weren't believing God for anything. God gave David all kinds of stuff. And he said, and if you wanted more, I would have given you that too. I mean, it's not, God didn't give you and I faith so that we can believe for a Cadillac. Hello? God did not give us faith so that we could believe for even temporal things. It says, Peter says, that the end of your faith is the salvation. Listen, God wants you and I with him. That's the end of our faith. He wants you and I with him. Exodus 25:8. Let them build me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. The whole point of that sanctuary was to get God with us. The whole point of the sanctuary in the Old Testament, slaying lambs and all this, was to get God with us. Why? Over into the New. Slay the Lamb of God to get us with him. That's his whole point. Receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your soul. Now, the writer of Hebrews now, so he goes in Hebrews chapter 11, and I love, man, this chapter is, we're going to take it verse by verse. But he starts it, and he goes all the way back to creation to show you what he's talking about when he says, now the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Now, and so as we're looking at the passage of Scripture, when it mentions faith, Hebrews 11:1 isn't the first mention there, okay? It is referring back to this passage of Scripture. All right, So now, let's look at it. Hebrews 11, 1 and 2. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. Now, Lord, I've prayed and asked the Lord to help me not be biased when I teach this passage of Scripture, because how many of you were affected by the faith movement or the excesses, name it and claim it, so forth and so on, of the movement? And it took some scriptures and really took them way, you know, way out of, way over here. Now let me tell you what the author is not talking about right here. He's not talking about, sister, I feel that job coming for you. I know you don't see it right now, but believe God for it, because faith is the substance of things hoped for. I know you don't see it, but you have it. Sister, you're going to get it. That is not what this is talking about. Even though for years this scripture has been taken out of context and made to, if you will, to make us think that you can believe God for anything as long as you have faith. As long as you have faith. This passage of scripture is the author now going to expand on the faith that he just encouraged the Hebrew believers not to let go of, to hold firmly on to. He's going to expand and teach on it and begin to encourage them with it. All right, so it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, what were the believers in Hebrews chapter 10 hoping for? Do you remember? Well, see, faith, until God does something, you can't even have faith. God is the initiator. Hebrews 12 and 2 says that God is the author and the finisher of our faith. But what I want to show is that he's just not pulling this out there and throwing it out there and say, okay, whatever you can believe God for, you can have it. That is not what he's saying. Okay? Let me read to you what the Wiersbe's expositional outline says. True biblical faith is not an emotional kind of wishful thinking. It is an inner conviction based on the Word of God. Listen to that. Faith is an inner conviction based on the Word of God. And I'll show you in a second when we get to another scripture. In verse 1, the word substance means assurance, and evidence means proof. So when the Holy Spirit gives us faith through the Word, the very presence of that faith in our hearts is all the assurance and evidence we need. Dr. J. Oswald Sanders says, faith enables the believing soul to treat the future as present and the invisible as seen. Okay? Through faith, we can see what others cannot see. When there is true faith in the heart, God bears witness to that heart by his Spirit. As noted, we see here, for by faith the elders obtained a good testimony. The elders or the fathers, or those who trusted God in the past, they gained a good testimony of God to the faith that was in their heart. He goes on and says, by faith Noah saw coming judgment. Abraham saw a future city. Joseph saw the exodus from Egypt, and Moses saw God. Okay? Now, notice this. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. The disciples, the Hebrew believers, listen, he says, and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and an enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. What were they hoping for? The hope of heaven. The hope of heaven. Eternity. Listen, you can have all the riches in this life. I'll take the riches in the next life. You can fill up, you can get on TV, have it all. Take it all. I can be laying in the gutter like Lazarus, you know, and just, it doesn't matter. Why? Because this is not home. Heaven is our home. This is not enduring. Heaven is enduring. And the disciples, the believers, they took joyfully when people stole from them. They didn't count it. They weren't all upset because they knew that they had an enduring possession in heaven. Now, the reason why we go all in a big funk when something happens to us is because we're so aware of everything down here. It's so ours. Oh, that's mine. Put that back. I want that. It's like, hello? Come on. No. You have an enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. That was their hope, and the knowing was the faith that made it theirs now. You see? And so, let me go a little bit further. Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Listen, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This is why I said, until God speaks, you can't even have faith. Do you hear me? If God doesn't speak, there is nothing for you to base your faith on. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I'll show you in the, I just said that if God doesn't speak, man has no faith and no salvation. A good Old Testament example, I'm going to say a great Old Testament example, I mentioned it last week, it's Genesis 4:6, remember? Abraham is talking with God, and he says, God, who's going to be my heir? I have this Eliezer of Damascus, he's the head of my household, I have no son, how is this going to work? And God says, listen, behold, the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord came to him, saying, this one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. Then he brought him outside and said, look now, Abraham, if you can count the stars, if you're able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. Now, that was the promise that God gave to Abraham. That was the word that came to Abraham. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So Abraham hears the word of God, and then he responds, and it says, and he believed in the Lord. He had faith in what God had promised. That faith is the substance of things hoped for. Abraham believed God's word and received it as if he owned it right then, even though he hadn't even had Isaac yet. He hadn't even had Isaac. And so he believed the word that God spoke to him. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Beloved, that's why you can't just jump up and say, well, I'm believing God for 3 houses. I just believe that. I just see it right now. I'm just a, people think, visualize. Let me tell you something. If God did not tell you that he wants to bless you with 3 houses, then you ought not be visualizing anything. What you're visualizing is trouble. You're about to get yourself into some big trouble. I'm telling you. See? Amen. That's the truth. Because faith comes by hearing. And hearing by his word, not by something that I concoct in my own human, depraved spirit or nature. Can't do that. And so, it goes on. It goes on. Let's go to verse 3, which says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear, in the New, or the King James says, or which are visible. And the writer of Hebrews says here simply that God created by faith we understand. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Every creationist believes this, by faith. Creationism is in and of itself a doctrine of faith, because you cannot explain the world any other way. The scientists, Stephen Hawking has come out with this article saying that God isn't necessary because the world self-generated. It was spontaneous generation that created the earth, that out of nothing, boom, something just came into being. Never mind that and it's supposed to be science, and science is based off of observation, but you've never observed spontaneous generation because there's no place in man's existence where there is no thing. Okay? Man has never seen nothing. So how can man observe spontaneous generation? It's impossible. It's impossible. Okay? And so the writer says, we understand by faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. There is no other way to understand the beginning of the world without faith in God. No other way to understand it without faith in God and how he said he created all things. Amen? Let's go on to verse 4. Hebrews 11, 4. We're only going to go to verse 7 today, as far as I can get. Hebrews 4, excuse me, 11, 4, by faith Abel offered. Interesting, I underlined and bolded Abel offered, because here again, notice what it does not say. It does not say that because Abel had faith, he was able to believe God for more sheep. It didn't say because he had such great faith, that he was able to believe God for that Lexus donkey. That wasn't it. No, really, I'm saying this because you can go home right now, because I'm going to go home and get on the treadmill later today. I'm going to turn on some Christian television. I'm going to tell you before I turn it on. I'm going to tell you right now what I'm going to hear. Get your seed offering. Get it ready. Send it in to me. Because I tell you, when you send it in, this is what's going to happen. I'm telling you, just as sure as I'm standing here, it's being preached, and Hebrews 11 is used quite a bit. If you only have faith, if you only believe God, by faith, notice this, it's the exact opposite. Instead of Abel's faith getting something from God, Abel's faith allowed him to give to God. His faith allowed him to give what was right and appropriate to God. Okay? So, by faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead, still speaks. Now, let me just burrow into this a little bit just to help us understand. Let me put up the Old Testament reference, Genesis 4, 2 through 5. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. The writer of Hebrews, by inspiration of God, tells us that what happened in Genesis 4, what Abel did, he did by faith. Okay? He did by faith. Says he offered to God a more excellent sacrifice. Let me just share a little bit what was happening in the Old Testament. Cain was a tiller of the ground. Abel was a keeper of sheep. It says in the process of time that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground to the Lord as a thank offering. The Hebrew word is michna. It is a Eucharistic offering made from meal, made from the fruit of the ground, and he offers it to the Lord as a thank offering, recognizing that God is the one who causes the rain, so forth, to come so that I can have a good produce. And so he brings it and gives it to the Lord. Abel, now he was a keeper of sheep. He was a keeper of sheep. But he didn't just bring a live sheep to the Lord. When it says that he brought the firstborn of his flock and their fat, to get the fat, you had to kill the lamb. You had to kill the animal. And to us, that seems fair because we eat meat. Okay? But this was at a time, this is Genesis 4. They didn't start eating meat until chapter 9. Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel, were strict vegetarians. They did not eat meat. So why did Abel kill the lamb? He killed it because in Genesis chapter 3 and 21, God killed a lamb to provide clothing for Adam and Eve. And in that passage of scripture, God instituted blood sacrifice. For the blood shall be the covering and make atonement for your sins. I've given you the blood upon the altar to make atonement for your sins, Leviticus 16. And so Abel comes with blood. Why? Because Abel recognizes that he is a sinner and he sinned against a holy God. And the only covering that this holy God will accept is the blood of a lamb that God establishes in Genesis 3. Abel recognized that he needs the mercy of God. He needs his sins dealt with, and he comes with a lamb. Now, Cain could have come with a lamb, but he didn't. Cain did not recognize himself as a sinner. He said, I have no need, God, of what you said I need to approach you. But yet God spelled it out when he instituted the blood sacrifice with Adam and Eve. He spelled it out, how you approach me. Cain did not come that way, and that's why God did not respect his offering. And by the way, scholars say that when it talks about God respecting your offering, they believe that God consumed the offering by fire. It was observant. You could see it. God accepted it. He accepted Abel's, but he did not accept Cain's. And so the writer of Hebrews says that Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice through which he obtained witness that he was righteous. That lets you know right there that the sacrifice that Abel offered pointed to the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And when he trusted in that offering up of that lamb, he became righteous because that lamb pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? And so by faith, this happens. And so the author is hammering, by faith, by faith, by faith. Remember, he has told these Hebrews, do not cast away, therefore, your confidence or your faith, which has great recompense of reward. Don't throw it away. Hold on to it. You need this. Okay, let's go to verse 5. This man studying this has just blessed me so. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Abel offered, Enoch pleased God. Now, imagine this, that God is so pleased with you that he won't leave you alone. Imagine that. He's so pleased with Enoch that he says, you know, I'm going to take you with me. You're going to come and be with me. By the way, when you're reading in the scriptures, let me put it up here so I can get to it. The Old Testament account is very short concerning Enoch. Genesis 5:22-24, and after he begat Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years. Now, I begin to think about this. Said among them, you know, the scripture says, if you walk in the spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Have you ever had a day, have you ever had a week, where you've walked in the spirit totally? You walked in the spirit. I mean, every impulse of the spirit, you just obeyed it. You heard it, and you just walked with God. The Bible says that Enoch walked with God. He didn't walk before God the way Genesis 17:1 says about Abraham. God came to Abraham and said, Abraham, walk before me and be thou perfect. Be blameless. He didn't walk before God, nor did he walk after God. Enoch walked with God. In other words, he didn't hear what God wanted and later decide, oh, yeah, I think I'm going to do what he told me to do. Anybody been there? He didn't do that. When he heard, when he felt, when he ascertained, when he perceived what God wanted, he did it. He walked with God. In other words, if God's walking here, Enoch is walking here. And they're walking together. Yes. Yes. And so he walked with God 300 years. This is the first mention of anybody walking with God in the Old Testament. First mention. The only other person that it talked about, it said it was Noah. Noah walked with God. But no one else. David walked before the Lord. Abraham walked before the Lord. The kings of Judah, they walked as their fathers walked, the scripture says. But only here in two places it says that they walked with God. So all the days of Enoch were 365, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. God took him. And so by faith, Enoch accessed what no one before him did. Think about it. He had access to God and availed himself of a relationship that he could have. Why did Enoch, it says, by faith, he pleased God. Well, why? Why? Maybe it simply is because he could. He could have a relationship with God, so he did. So he did. The author of Hebrews plainly shows the believers that faith is what decides how a person responds to God. The faith gospel being preached today attempts to show how a person can get God to respond to their faith. The faith gospel being preached today attempts to show a person how a person can get God to respond to their faith. When here it's the opposite way around. Enoch's faith allowed him to respond rightly to God. Enoch's faith allowed him to respond rightly to God. That's why I'm saying it's not my job every morning to wake up and say, oh, my business is going to be blessed. I'm going to have 24 vans and I see. That is not why God has given me faith. God has given me faith ultimately so that I can be in right relationship with him and walk with him. All the blessings, that's peripheral. That comes as you walk with God, or it may not come. Doesn't matter. Why? I've got him. I don't need the other stuff. I don't need it. You see, you remember Gehazi and Elisha? When Elisha, after Elisha had prayed for Naaman and took the leprosy away and everything, And Naaman said, here, take something, take something. Elisha said, no. He said, no, come on, take something. No. Don't, I'm not taking anything that's yours. Go, be gone. And so he left. Gehazi runs behind and says, well, my master didn't take anything. But I just think I want a little bit. I just want a little bit of something. Yeah. And so when Gehazi comes back, he hides it in his room and everything. And he goes, he stands before Elisha. He said, where'd you go, Gehazi? Oh, your servant didn't go anywhere. He said, didn't my heart go with you? He said, is it a time for us to receive? Is it a time for us to get riches? He said, therefore, the leprosy that was upon Naaman shall be upon you and your descendants forever. Hello. He traded these earthly riches and got a disease that plagued his whole generation, that plagued his descendants forever. Horrible. Horrible situation. Don't throw away your faith. It is required when approaching God, for it is his promise that one believes in coming to God. Now, Enoch, it says down here, he walked with God. Now, we understand that the only thing that Enoch did with God was walk with him. That translates into how he pleased God. How did Enoch please God? In Hebrews chapter 5, well, down here it says that he walked with him. God is pleased when we walk with him. Watch this. Look at the New Testament. Paul is praying for his Christian believers, for these New Testament believers. And this is what he prays. I pray that you would walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him. He walked with God. He pleased God. And he's praying that you and I would walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him. Listen, when you and I walk with God, we please him. We please him. You mean, Pastor, I can have an effect? You mean how I live my life has an effect on God? You better believe it does. Oh, you better know it does. Look at this. 1 Thessalonians 4:1-8. Finally, brethren, we urge you and exhort you in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you received from us how you ought to walk and please. Come on now. When I'm showing you this, I want to show you. We're talking about the same thing. Walking with God pleases God. How you ought to walk and please God. For you know what the commandment, you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality. Well, isn't it 1 Corinthians chapter 6 that says when one becomes the member of a harlot, that he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit? And because we're one spirit with God, when we are involved in sexual immorality, we are bringing Christ into sexual immorality? No, that's not walking with God. And yet today, I know young Christians, they think nothing of it. It's just, well, you know what happened? I repented, whatever. Yeah, God forgive me. Confess your sins one to another. Pray for one another, be healed. If we confess our faults one to another, you know. It's not that simple. Does God forgive us? Of course he does. But does it pleases the Lord? No, it doesn't. Walking with God. Remember our first, for some of you, you were here when I did the first memory verse. It's Amos 3:3. Can two walk together unless they are agreed? See, when Enoch walked with God, Enoch was in agreement with everything God said. Everything he said. That's why he could walk with him. When you and I are in agreement with what the Holy Spirit is saying to us, if we walk in the Spirit, we not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Lust of the flesh. That each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification, not in passion of lust. See? Like the Gentiles do, or who do not know God. And so Enoch, all the way back in the Old Testament, with no special revelation, no scriptures were written. No scriptures were written. Enoch shows up, the seventh from Adam, and he, by faith, knows that there is a God. Because verse 6, as we get to it, right after verse 5 here, that he pleased God. Because verse 6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. So when Enoch comes to God, he believes that he is. Even though there's no special revelation, there's no word, but he simply believes that God is. Why? Well, Adam had passed on the blood atonement. He knew about that, knew about Abel, knew about all these things. As a matter of fact, when Enoch was living, it's possible, I believe, that Adam was still alive. You have to remember this. You can go talk to Father Adam about the garden scene and all of that. Okay, so we now fulfill by faith what, or live out what Enoch did in the Old Testament when we walk with God. Enoch was not believing God so that he could be taken by God or translated, you know. He wasn't just, you know, I believe in God because God's going to come. He's going to come and get me. He's going to translate me. Woohoo! I can't wait. No, Enoch didn't even have a promise. God didn't tell Enoch he was going to take him anywhere. Enoch simply walked with God. The translation, that was God's, that was his initiative. That is what he decided he was going to do. And so the author takes the opportunity to tie faith with the reward. Here's a man of God on earth walking with God by faith. They are being tempted to cast off their faith. He said, don't throw away your faith because your faith has great recompense and reward. Look at Enoch, who by faith pleased God and he was taken to heaven. What is our great hope? The Christian's hope is to live eternally with God in heaven. He's saying, here's an example. Don't throw away your faith. Look at Enoch. Look at Enoch, who by faith walked with God, pleased God, and was taken because he had this testimony that he pleased God. Verse 6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please God. Wow. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Why? For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He's saying to the Hebrew believers, keep coming, and come with your faith. Do not cast away your faith. That's what he kept telling them. That's why all throughout this whole passage is by faith. By faith. He's showing the necessity of the faith that God had given them. He's showing them you cannot proceed in God, in Christ, without this faith. Lay hold to it. Don't let it go. Keep it, make it your own. This is what Enoch did. He walked with God because he was, and since he was, Enoch responded to him in faith. He believed that God would reward him, and God did in a most extraordinary way. This is important because this is the exact promise that God has made to the suffering and halting Hebrew believers. It's the promise that he made. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence or your assurance. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence, the word substance, faith is the substance, the word is assurance, confidence. Don't cast away your confidence, which has great reward in the future. It is confident now that you're going to receive what God has promised you that's offered in the future, but it's yours now by faith. He's saying, don't cast it away. Hold on to your faith because you have need. And this passage, this chapter 11, is not only about, I know we call it the hall of faith, but it's not only about faith. It's about faith and endurance. Faith and endurance. For you have need of endurance. We all have need of endurance. Okay, now last verse for today. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen. Let me stop there and say this. As we go through these scriptures, and I can't help but to belabor this point, notice how the disciples, or notice how these fathers of the faith, these elders, they didn't get anything. I mean, every time I hear a message on faith, it's about you're going to get something. When I say get anything, I'm talking about tangible. They didn't get a chair. They didn't get a microphone. They didn't get a cup. They didn't get a pen. They didn't get anything. I want something. Don't you? Yeah, our flesh does. It wants stuff. Okay? God's not interested in stuff. He isn't. He can give you the world. Matter of fact, Paul says the world is yours. He says all is yours. We'll go back into other parts of the New Testament. We would see that for the Christian, everything is yours. But by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, he moved. This is what faith calls Noah to do. What will it cause us to do? Noah moved. Come on. Let me tell you something. I'll never forget this. Driving years ago in a car with Lori and Kenny and some others, and we're driving through Fairfax in my white 1986 Nissan Sentra. I'll never forget it. I'm in the right lane. And I'm driving down the street, going right through the city of Fairfax, and the Holy Ghost said to me, get out of this lane. I mean, he just said, get out of this lane. And you know, when you're young and you're in love with Jesus, you know, you haven't learned to question yet. You don't say, now, Lord, why would you be telling me something like that? It wasn't like that, okay? God said, get out of this lane. And I remember I turned my head quick, hit my signal, boom, and I got out. As soon as I got out, I'm talking as soon as I got out, bam, 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 the car, two up in front of us, slammed on the brakes in a five-car pileup. They just knocked right into one another, and I would have been the third car. I would have been in the middle, sandwiched. Because I listened to God, I moved with godly fear. Hello, I'm trying to tell you something. By faith in hearing what God says, it can get you to move out of harm's way. That's what Noah did. By faith, Noah moved. He prepared. Come on. He prepared an ark for the saving of his household. Fathers, I believe God would speak to us some things that if we do what God is saying to us. I mean, there are many applications that we can draw from this. That when God speaks to you and you do it, you can save your family, you can save your church, you can save a great many people. Paul did it in Acts chapter 27. He told the men, he said, gentlemen, I think this voyage is going to be with great harm to the ship. He said, after they shipwrecked, he said, you know what, you really should have listened to me and not incurred this great loss. Golana says, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness, which is according to faith. Why was Noah declared righteous? Because Noah believed what God told him, even though it was negative. God comes to Noah and says, Noah, he says, I'm fed up. It's just, I'm sorry I ever even made man. I'm going to wipe the earth clean, make an ark. And Noah moved in faith, moved in fear, godly fear, prepared an ark, and he did all of this by faith. By faith. Faith is not given to you to get God to do what you want. Faith is not given to you to get God to do what you want. It is given to you so that you can believe God, obey God, and in so doing be delivered from death by that very faith in God. That's why faith is given. Amen? Because you see, if God didn't speak, there would have been nothing for Noah to believe in. God initiates, man responds in faith and is justified in so doing. That's what happened to Noah. Thus, the author of Hebrews shows convincingly the importance of faith to his hearers. The same faith is necessary for us as we live in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation where idolatry is rampant and everywhere found. 2 days ago, or 3 days, no, 2 days ago, we had Black Friday. That is the retail high worship day. That's their high day of worship. That's when, now, I'm not slamming, if you went to Black Friday to get a deal, that's fine. I'm not slamming, you know, save some money. I'm all for saving money. What I'm talking about is their intention when they do that, okay? Here, now, Someone I know was in a Walmart, and a fight broke out in the electronics section. And I'm sure you've heard about the woman who pepper sprayed in California as people were going to this one electronics display, and she wanted to get hers. She took out her pepper spray and sprayed 20 people, and got her item, got to the counter, paid for it before the police got there. So she got away. Although they have video surveillance, so they're trying to track her down. But look at what happened. Look at what is going on in the name of, supposed to be in the name, Black Friday is supposed to have something to do with Christmas. We know it doesn't. They're worshiping at a totally different altar. Come on. That is idolatry, where they exalt the thing. Come on. They exalt the creation over the creator. And so we're not looking to God. We're looking for stuff to bring us some sort of pleasure, some sort of satisfaction. Come on. God did not make man to be satisfied with anything other than himself. He made us to be satisfied with him, and he's the only one that can live inside of us. So he comes to fulfill us from the inside out. And we have to live in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. So we need the faith, just like these Hebrew hearers needed the faith in the midst of the struggle. Amen. God help us. God help us that we would see him who is invisible, that we would hear him, our Heavenly Father, who others can't hear, and that when we hear God speaking, we will by faith receive, believe, move on, act on what he is saying. And hopefully to the salvation not only of our own home, but to many others. Amen. Let's stand. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for truth. We delight in, Lord, your instruction and the opening up of scripture that we might live by. Father, I ask your blessing now upon this word. May it bring forth fruit, O God, as it is firmly planted and established in the soil of good hearts, O God, that it will bring fruit that will bring constant glory to you. And we ask it and believe it in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. God bless you.